All right, if you wish to follow along, turn to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. Just one verse. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. Proverbs 11, verse 1. I'll read that verse. A false balance. Now that means scales. That's what it's talking about. An illustrate, it's a word used for it to illustrate scales. And I think all of us know what that is. You put a weight of a certain thing, or you put a certain thing on this side, and you have certain weights that are supposed to be calibrated with the scales, or the scales calibrated with the weights, I should rather say, to make sure what's on the other side is just and equal. That's what he's talking about here. It's what Solomon's talking about. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. That's a serious word.
Yes, sir.
It's a serious word. Exactly. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight.
Amen.
When it comes to any and all topics of Scripture. Now, Christ is the theme, the central theme of all Scripture. But Scripture has hundreds of topics.
Yes, sir.
Hundreds of topics. And of course, theology has kind of broken them, you know, theologians has kind of broken them down into different subjects. But even they do not cover everything. But when it comes to any and all topics of Scripture, anyone who lays the finger of their opinion to the scale.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyone who reaches out with their opinion and touches the scale with their opinion. This, I don't care if it's me, as a believer, you as believers, or the reprobate, anyone who reaches out with the finger of their opinion and puts their finger on the scales, it's an abomination. The reason is our opinions don't matter. Now, someone says, Pastor, don't you respect the opinions of other pastors? I do, if they know a good place to go get my car fixed, and I need help with that. But when it comes to this word, faithful pastors merely preach this word and constantly affirm what this word says. And they refuse to go no further. But they will not refuse to clearly declare what is actually said in the Scriptures. And I really don't need, and you don't need anyone to explain it to us. I think too many of us think that the pastor has this great ability, we don't, and then he gives us this great insight. No, he's given this gift to publicly proclaim and consistently remind us of the truth without compromise, and the Spirit of God uses that to teach us what he's already put down in our hearts.
Amen.
So again, when it comes to any and all topics of Scripture, anyone who lays the finger of their opinion to the scale, we have did that which is abomination in God's sight. If you raise your finger and say, here's my opinion, that's okay. If you don't touch the scales. Now you understand what I'm saying? But you best make sure that everyone knows this is just your opinion, and an opinion applies to two things. One, it's one of the words we get from a root word in the Greek that means heresy. So you got to watch out when you look at opinion. Right?
Yes.
But also, we have opinions about many things. But we have God's revelation translated for us into clear English. It's fine to give your opinion, but you best make sure you let everybody know without question, this is just my opinion, and opinion really only applies to me. Because any man that thinks something is sin, if he thinks it is, it is. But that don't mean it is to somebody else. If it's your opinion. Now that doesn't mean if a man thinks fornication ain't wrong, he's okay.
No.
There are some things that are clearly stated as sin.
Exactly.
Other things, there are gray areas.
Yeah.
And any preacher who thinks he knows all the gray areas and can explain it to you, he's touching his finger to the scales.
Yeah.
Now I know you're wondering, what in the world's he going after this morning? Well, I recently was reminded by a certain thing of another certain thing, a periodical that I had read months and months, maybe a couple years ago. This periodical was circulated, or is circulated, I think it's four times a year, by a group of local churches, and they are grace churches, yeah, believe in Calvinism and sovereign grace. This one thing that I read this past week reminded me of that periodical because it was about the same subject. And in this periodical, and in what I read that reminded me of the periodical, various pastors wrote on the subject of what should believers wear. Now, don't hold me to the actual quote of that, but it was along that line. And they're talking about our clothing.
Yeah.
And mainly, the periodical, mainly it was talking about public worship, and so was the thing that reminded me of the periodical. The sad thing was, in what reminded me of the periodical, and in the periodical, only one pastor, and that was one from the periodical that I read a couple months and months ago, only one pastor did not lay his finger to the scales.
Yeah.
Only one. I'd actually heard that pastor preach in person before. He did a Christ-honoring job. I was glad to hear him, glad to meet him, but I've never met him since. I just get the periodical every once in a while. But only one pastor, when it come to that subject, did not lay his finger to the scales. Would it surprise you if I told you the New Testament deals with this subject? A believer's apparel. A believer's apparel. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 first. And there are four major passages in the New Testament that deal with a believer's apparel. Matthew 6. The believer's need for clothing is never the chief concern. I say never. Now, you can read the whole context later. I expect you to question what I'm saying this morning. Some preachers don't want to be questioned, but you question what I'm saying. You apply what I say to the Word of God.
There you go. That's it.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The context is God or mammon, which one you serving?
Yep.
The context is food and clothing. God's got to provide it.
Yes, sir.
And He provides the birds with food and clothes the field with lilies and flowers. And this is Christ's conclusion. But seek ye first God Almighty's reign and His Son. That's what He's talking about.
Yeah.
But seek ye first God Almighty's reign and His Son and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. It's not about seeking it for a while, that is the first thing,
yeah,
and getting a hold of that so well you can leave that first thing and then go on to seek other things. That's not what He says, is it? So it means every day, Seth.
Yeah.
My first priority has to be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yeah.
And I'll say it this way. If I do that,
yeah,
He'll give me these other things.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Amen. He'll give me those other things. Now that doesn't mean if your shirt gets a big rip in it, you'll say, well, I'll just wait till God opens the door to go get me another shirt. If you got the money, go buy you another shirt. But that's the whole point. Have your mind and heart set on the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will take care of the rest of that.
Yep.
Sometimes it'll just fall on your lap.
Yes, sir.
Other times you may have to go out and work hard for it.
Yep.
But it will be added unto you. The believer's need for clothing is never the chief concern, public or private. Public or private. The gospel in Christ's reign is daily paramount. Seek anything else first, what have you done?
Yeah.
You're putting your finger to the scale. Are you not?
Yeah.
Putting your finger to the scale. Number two, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, the clothing of a believing woman who has a rebel for a husband.
Yeah.
You hear what I just said? The clothing of a believing woman who has a rebel for a husband. Her clothing is never the chief concern.
Exactly.
Now, is that my opinion? Am I laying the finger to the scale? 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at the context. And verse 3. Who's adorning? Who's adorning? The context is a woman who believes and her husband doesn't.
Yeah.
Isn't that the context? You'll read it. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair, of plaiting the hair, or of wearing of gold. And then he even says, or putting on of apparel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not the thing that you're adorning yourself with.
Exactly.
Especially in light of this thing, you got an unbelieving husband.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Now it even says that the unbelieving husband may be won by the way of life of the woman, but that's one to maybe be a good husband. And it says to be done so without the word. No man or woman is ever saved without the word of God.
Exactly.
Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. God's people are sanctified by God's truth, and his word is the truth.
Yeah.
What Peter's talking about is you may just win your husband over, and he may end up being just a decent husband to you, at least.
There you go.
And then God Almighty might bring him the gospel as well. But what's the whole point? Do you impress him with your attire? No, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Don't be badgering him all the time.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about.
Yeah.
Which is in the sight of God, a great price, because your sisters, other believers, this is the way they conducted themselves in times past. You make clothing a gauge to godliness. You make clothing a gauge to godliness. You stuck your finger on the scales. Number three, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go back the other way just a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 2. There is a commandment, especially for women and public worship, when it comes to clothing. There is. There is a commandment, especially for women in public worship. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. And that's not talking about just physical sobriety. Nothing wrong with you having a glass of wine or whatever. Something. Maybe it's talking about mental, spiritual sobriety. Sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. You see it? You see it? He says here about clothing, modest apparel.
Amen.
That means not showy, but not scanty.
Exactly.
But decorous.
Yes.
Sometimes it could even mean elegant. But it's never extravagant.
That's what
it's modest. It's in the middle.
Yeah.
Never too far this way, never too far that way. And note, the Spirit of God stops right there. He could have told us how far down, gals, your clothes supposed to go on your legs. He could have told us how far down, gals, them clothes supposed to go on your arms. He could have told you, gals, how far up them clothes supposed to come on your neck. Could he not?
Sure.
But he didn't.
Exactly.
Why? Because God's got his scales. He's given us the modicum here.
Yeah.
the moderation here. And his spirit will lead you into the correct way. People like me just got to be constantly confirming these things to us. Now, folks, that's what it is. Modest apparel, not showy, not scanty, but decorous or elegant, but not extravagant. And he says this is godliness. Because this is a woman seeking to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in his person and work. And that's what godliness is. Now, I'm not telling you all to take up smoking, but godliness ain't, I don't smoke. I'm not telling you to go to the movies. Most of it's probably a waste of time. Wait till it comes out on DVD. You can get it for a dollar or two.
There you go.
But if you want to go out to the movies with your wife, I can't tell. That's my opinion, Seth. I got to keep my finger up here. Got to keep my finger up here. What I'm saying is this. Godliness is this. It is to speak the truth about the person and work of Jesus Christ and to tell the truth about yourself. It's summed up under those two headings. Tell the truth about Jesus Christ. Tell the truth about yourself. So there is a commandment, especially for women in public worship. Now, ignore this, my sisters. Ignore this, my sisters. You put your finger on the scale.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And as Earl used to say, a word to the wise is sufficient. A word to the wise is sufficient. Don't put your finger on the scale, but let's put a little bit more shoe leather on this. If you opine, if anyone opines, you know what to opine is, don't you? To bloviate forth with your opinion.
Yeah.
That's what opine means.
Yeah.
To opine for dresses for women. And it's amazing. In these periodicals, and what reminded me of the periodical, that was the phrase in both of them. Dresses for women. Dresses for women.
Yeah.
They never said modest dresses for women.
There you go.
Why? Is it because they want immodesty? No. But the problem is they got their opinion.
Yeah.
Women should wear dresses. And I'm going to touch my finger to the scale. Because it's modest dresses, not just dresses. Is it? I'll tell you what. Even here in our small little group, there's some of you ladies that wear pants. You showed far less skin than some of our visitors who come in with their dresses on. And when they realized they weren't in pews and they were in chairs, they had to sit with their hands on their knees or their legs folded to keep from exposing their undergarments. Now you tell me who's wearing more modest apparel.
There you go. Yeah.
Tell me. Don't ignore this, my sisters. Don't ignore this. I wear whatever I want. No, you don't wear whatever you want. Modest apparel. Is that not what it says?
That's what it says.
That's what it says. So don't opine. In these articles, even blue jeans were mentioned. Oh my.
Oops.
I'm serious, folks. Even blue jeans were mentioned, and they were indicated to be disrespectful. That's putting your finger to the scale. I'm telling you, it's putting your finger to the scale. And it's an abomination in God's sight. I even heard casual clothing put this way. If your clothing is casual, your, it may not be exact quote, but your worship or reverence or devotion will be casual. Somebody just stuck their whole hand on the scale. I'm not real savvy when it comes to clothing. I have to ask my wife sometimes what matches. Now, I don't ask her what's modest. I know I need to cover up my nakedness. But I ask her what matches. But I'm not savvy on clothing. So I got online, Joe, and looked up casual.
Yeah.
Casual clothing.
Oops.
Here's the facts. Not all dresses are intrinsically modest. Jeans have no revealed disrespect intrinsically to God.
Exactly.
And not all jeans are blue, by the way.
That's right.
Some jeans are green, gray, black, whatever. And I have wore several pairs standing behind this podium. At least you couldn't see them. I'm behind the podium.
That's right.
Not all dresses are intrinsically modest. Jeans have no reveal, disrespect intrinsically, and not all jeans are blue. And some casual clothing is far more decorous than some formal wear.
Yeah, right.
Because I begin to look it up. Now, there was some casual wear I wouldn't even wear in my yard, let alone wear here. I wouldn't even spend money on it.
Yeah.
They buy clothes today. You buy pants, and you get more rag than you get anything else.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. But I will ask you, do you really want to wear a pair of those kind of jeans here?
Exactly. Yeah.
But that is me. Got to leave it right here.
Yeah.
Do you hear what I'm saying? That's leaving my finger right here.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because you are God's servant. You don't answer to me.
Yeah.
You answer to God.
Amen.
And I, God help me. God help me. About to say I don't, but God help me not to touch my finger to the scale.
Exactly.
Beware putting your finger to the scale, my brothers and sisters.
You're right.
But there's one more. And it's very enlightening in all the first three. Turn to James.
Yeah.
Chapter 2. James chapter 2. There's one more very enlightening passage. James chapter 2. Are you there? We'll give you the statement. And then I'm going to paraphrase James chapter 2, verses 2 down through, I think, about verse 7. But we'll read the verses after my paraphrase. And I want you to judge if what I'm giving you is what this is actually saying. Here's my statement first. There is a gospel dishonoring conduct when judging people by clothing.
There
is a gospel dishonoring conduct when judging people by their clothing. And I don't care if it's Peter.
Yeah.
If I'm going to not compromise, I got to withstand him to his face.
There you go, exactly.
Now, one, I'm not an apostle, so it's not up to me to go out and straighten everybody out. But you understand what I'm saying. I can't sit here and be silent when I know this stuff's out there.
Yeah.
Here's my paraphrase. Remember, there's a gospel dishonoring conduct when it comes to judging people by their clothing. Here's my paraphrase. My fellow believers, you have verse 1 of chapter 2, my fellow believers, and he's talking to believers, the brethren.
Yeah.
This ain't to a bunch of reprobates.
Yeah.
You see? My fellow believers, having Christ's faith been given you, should never be associated with high regard for a man simply because of his affluent station in this world. You hear what I just said? Now, I bumbled that a little, but you hear what I said? My fellow believers, having Christ's faith given to you, should never be associated with high regard for a man simply because of his affluent station in this world. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. James says, I'll give you an example.
Amen.
Doesn't he? He said, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
A man attends gospel services. Got a nice watch. Freshly dry, clean dress coat and pants, pressed white t-shirt, and even got an undershirt under it, pressed to make sure nothing else shows through. You got a silk tie, dress shoes, and his socks even match. The second man attends gospel services. He has very little. Even his clothes are dirty, cheap, and shabby. For if they're coming to you, your assembly, a man wearing a gold ring, a goodly apparel, there come one in also, a poor man, in vile raiment. Now look at that. That's exactly what that means.
Yeah.
Dirty, cheap, and shabby.
Yeah.
Paraphrase going on. And you treat these two men differently. Verse 3. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Continue with the paraphrase.
Yeah.
You treat them differently, and are you not laying the finger to the scales?
There you go.
You see verse 4? Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of, and that is in the possessive in the Greek. It means you're a judge with the evil thought. You've laid your hand to the scale. Let me go on with my paraphrase. No, wait a minute. That was the end of the paraphrase. You're not, you're laying your finger to the scales. Somebody says, but Pastor, that's just two visitors. I won't argue with you about that. Very well could be speaking of two men unassociated with the gospel to begin with. We all are by nature.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. We all are by nature. But different men and women have different stations in this world. And I don't care just because we live in America, not everybody's affluent. Not even, some of us ain't even close to it. I feel I'm far well better off than I ever deserved to be. But I don't even consider myself poor. I've never missed a meal, you know, always had a way to get to work and always actually had a job. But be that as it may. Somebody said, well, it's just visitors. I got no argument, but let's read on. Let's continue the paraphrase. Listen to me intently, my fellow believers who are most dear to my heart. Does not the gospel clearly reveal that God chose those in poverty and elected them to have a true living belief in Christ? And these do have love for Christ and are kingdom heirs even in their present poverty. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, while they're still poor, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him. So they believe, they're heirs, and they love him.
Amen.
So don't gauge men and women and their spirituality or their devotion or their love for, or any other, is it an adjective, Joe? Any other thing, don't judge them based on their clothing. Even if they're wrong in the clothing they're wearing, you probably did it one time too.
Exactly.
And God will teach them in his good time.
Yeah.
Now granted, you come in here and you got a t-shirt on and it's got a picture of somebody's hand with a middle finger sticking up.
Yeah.
I'll hand you my coat and I'll tell you to cover it up. Or you can leave. And I'm not even going to lay my finger to the scale. I'm just going to tell you that's my opinion, but that's what I'm going to do. Okay? If you disagree with me, that's fine. If that person disagrees with me, that's fine. But one day God will teach them that. One day he'll teach them that. But I think most every one of us would realize that's inappropriate. See, that's pretty easy. The problem is when we generalize. When we generalize and we call one thing wrong just because we don't like that thing. Or because we prefer something else. What is a preference other than an opinion?
Exactly.
Other than opinion. So it says, listen intently. Intently. So I read to you, verse 5. But you have treated such ones like you are self-righteous. And you conduct yourselves like the unregenerate wealthy around you. Verse 6, but ye have despised the poor. Isn't that what the Pharisee was doing in the temple? Now that one guy, I don't know if he's poor in pocketbook, but he was poor in spirit. And that Pharisee stood up there and boy, he loved himself, but he looked down on this fella. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? End of paraphrase. Now that that poor man is converted. And God does convert poor people, don't he?
Yes, sir. Yes,
most of the people God saves are of the poorer classes.
Yeah.
At least the poorer classes.
Yeah.
And not the mighty, the rich, the wealthy, and the noble.
Exactly.
Is that not what the book says?
Amen.
Now that poor man is converted by the gospel. What now is his first daily chief concern to be? Got to get rid of my dirty shirt. Got to make sure it's not disheveled and I got to get it ironed. No, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will add the rest of this to you.
Amen. That's it.
And you say, preacher, you're worked up. That's one reason we sang that word. Sometimes you come to the service and your heart's just so low. To any who hear me, this applies to me, this applies to you, and it applies to anybody else that ever hears this message in any other venue. Especially if you profess to believe God, these things apply to us. Yes or no?
Amen.
Yes or no? Reach the finger toward God's scales and hear me. If you feel a brother or sister has a real need, I mean a real need, you feel they really have a real need, instead of doing these little psychological tactics of making men and women feel guilty so that they will follow your preference or your opinion, why don't you just do this with tact, and with graciousness, and with humility? Why don't you just supply to them the actual need with no strings attached? If you think they need dresses to wear, go buy them some. If that's what you feel, your opinion is so strong, that's what they really ought to be doing, go buy them some. But don't attach any strings to it. Just go buy them some. Give it to them. Right? Do not just insinuate or indicate with mere words your preference or even their need. Is this me putting my finger to the scales? Let me give an old quote circa early church. You want to hear it? Give you an old quote, early circa church. Turn the page. Maybe. It might be on the same page for you. Turn the page. Verse 15 of James 2. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and don't try to overplay this. Well, they just really got to be actually really bankrupt. That ain't what he's talking about. He's illustrating. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart ye in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Give them one of these. Well, here's what you ought to do, brother. Here's what you ought to do, sister. No, why don't you just go get them the things that they need?
Amen.
And with tact and graciousness and humility, give it to them. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what good did it do them? And James says, I'm illustrating to you a dead faith. A living faith would just go get them what they needed. Would it not? Mason, would it not? To lift a finger with an I prefer toward God. To just lift a finger and to reach out to touch the scales with no but to negate self is self. Now let me read that. Try to read to you again. To lift a finger with an I prefer toward God's scales and try to actually touch those scales with no but to negate self is self. For since we have the complete Word of God and the Spirit of God to lead and guide us, and pastors that will unabashedly, consistently proclaim and remind us of these truths, why do I need a man's preference when I got God's Word?
There you go.
That's it. God spare us from being an affluent church. God spare us from being a poor church. This is what I'm saying, folks. God spare us from being an affluent church. God spare us from being a poor church. God make us your church, made up of both poor and affluent, if that's your sovereign purpose. Because there are no poor churches and affluent churches. There is only the church of God made up of poor and affluent. Make us love Christ and one another, and make us not gauge devotion to Christ amongst our brothers and sisters by their clothing. Amen.
Amen.
Turn and let's sing 66.